If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
We're getting closer to business news and economics that impacts our pockets directly. We're going to take a look now at the latest annual One Life Insurance Generational Wealth Survey, which shares some uncomfortable truths and yet realities that we all face as South Africans. That many of us, at least 55% of respondents to the survey, have to supplement their income by taking on another job or side hustle. And that's largely because majority of us as South Africans are struggling to accumulate wealth due to financial strain. Let me know. Are we all in the same bucket? Are some doing better than others? Share your experience. Even if you choose to stay anonymous, you're more than welcome to. 063-688-0959. Hayley Perry joins us now again to unpack the details of this report. Hayley is a money coach and facilitator at One Life's Truth About Money. Hayley, I always get excited to speak to you, but I guess get scared and worried about the data because it shares very harsh but necessary truths about our financial standing. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, and don't worry, I'm not scary. We may have some scary data, but we've also got some helpful tips and tools for your listeners to get us past the bad news.
100%, and that's why we keep having you on the show. And Hayley, again, many times we've actually focused on the research that's conducted by One Life, and I guess the generational wealth one really provides a different perspective, right? It's not just what we're doing with our monthly income, but it's really our long-term objectives to create wealth. Maybe add some more detail to the insight of this report.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's two parts to it, right? The reality is that we only have 12 opportunities every year in terms of how many times we paid, most of us. In terms of how we manage our money in each of those 12 gaps that we've got during the year determines how much cash flow we've got left over for some of us in terms of how can we then generate generational wealth. And so it is actually this two-point thing where we've got the immediate needs and decisions that we have to make around our money, but there's this longer-term consequence and impact. And I think, you know, the good news coming out of the survey is that we have seen an encouraging increase in terms of people actually recognizing, A, what generational wealth is, and B, that property savings and insurance are part of the mix that they need to be looking at putting money towards in order to getting that right. And for me, that was, you know, great news coming out of the survey.
100%. It's typically said you need money to make money, but we also have responsibilities, right? And I guess that's what's catching up with us as South Africans on the daily. Maybe talk to us about the pressures we're under to such an extent that some people have to look for additional means of income.
Yeah, so we saw that 56% of respondents said that, you know, they're merely surviving, and 29% said that they're struggling. You know, and I think a lot of that comes down to a large degree around how much of our income for most South Africans is going towards paying off debt. So we saw that just under half of people said that they spent 30% of their take-home pay servicing debt, whereas 19% they said that they're spending half of their salary on debt repayments. You know, if that's what you're doing with your salary every month, obviously it means that things are really tight, things are tough, and you're struggling to make ends meet, you know, to make it to the next payday. And so that's where, you know, those respondents really are kind of sitting going, this is crisis mode for me. You know, how do I make it through? How do I pay for the basics? And that's obviously the worst position to be in, because when you're in that space, both financially and emotionally, the last thing on your mind is building wealth. This is all about survival when you're in that place.
100%. What also, I guess, took me by surprise is just how many South Africans are saying that they are merely surviving, others admitting to struggling. And of course, others also mentioning that they don't necessarily find themselves in a comfortable position in terms of the management of their finances.
Yeah, I mean, I think there've been a lot of pressures on people's bank accounts over the last little while. You know, we went through a long cycle of interest rate increases. We've also had a fairly hectic rise in cost of living. And, you know, the double whammy now of having had 2 years with no changes to income tax brackets, as well as the new incoming VAT increase, as well as on 1 April, you know, the electricity price increase coming in at just under 13%. You know, we've had a lot of blows to our budget, and unfortunately, it seems like there's more to come. And so I think that just speaks directly to those stats that you're referring to. Mm. It's hard at the moment. You know, even if you maybe were feeling comfortable a year or two ago, these are body blows when it comes to our budget. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there's much relief around the corner.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, the pressure points that we're feeling, because if we just take a look at the recent MPC announcement, no cut or change in the interest rates, we have the budget speech, and we had that about 2 weeks ago, where there's a proposed VAT increase. There's no inflationary adjustment to personal income tax. So all of these are themes that we as South Africans still need to contend with. I guess, how does this shift or add additional pressure to the money that we have in order to generate more wealth?
Yeah, look, I think the consistent thing here for me is that I don't think this is going away anyway, anytime soon. You know, we've got these specific instances, but it's kind of like swings and roundabouts. There are different things that are coming at us in terms of pressure on our budgets and then our bank accounts, right? I think what we need to do, though, is focus on the things that we can control, because the things that you've just mentioned are all things that we can't control, right? And so when we focus too much on that, what happens to us is that we become really despondent, and then you kind of throw your hands up in the air and go, well, you know, why do I even bother trying? And that's the last thing that we want to do when it comes to our money, because it's really important that we feel like we're in control and that we're taking active, proactive steps to not only managing our money, but getting us to the point where we go from survival to thriving. And so By changing the focus away from these things that we can't control and focusing on what we can, that's the first step towards doing that. And my number one tip is to say, how do I focus on being personally profitable? You know, what can I do in terms of my personal finances, both for me and potentially for my household, if there's more than one income coming in? And just start taking small steps towards that point so that you are starting to exercise that financial muscle. You're pulling back control. Instead of throwing your hands up and giving up, you're saying, right, what are the areas where I can cut back? How do I focus on paying down some of this debt so that I can free up my cash flow? And actually taking, you know, concrete steps towards improving your personal situation.
Yes. And this is why we love speaking to you, Hayley, because you hit us with the reality, what the data tells us, but most importantly, you leave us empowered with practical steps that we can implement. So for someone who might find themselves saying, geez, there's just too much month at the end of my money, what guidelines can we implement just to make sure that we still achieve our long-term wealth objectives, but still getting by on a day-to-day?
Yeah, so I mean, we've spoken about this focus on personal profitability, right? So understanding that that's a goal is often actually a new thing for people to think about. You know, we've kind of always thought about the companies we work for or buy products and services from. We know they need to make a profit, but we've never really applied that thing to our own personal financial situation, right? So If that's the goal, then the next step is, okay, how do we get there? How do we start taking practical steps? Now, for most people, this is not something that was ever taught at home or at school or after school, and we don't actually really know what it is that we should be doing. We've heard about this budgeting thing. We've tried it once or twice, and it didn't really work, and so we gave up, right? Yeah. So my number one piece of advice then is to get yourself a financial education that actually works for you, where you feel empowered not only with the information you're receiving, but to actually start implementing it. And, you know, that's where we love Truth About Money, because they've got this website where you can go and get access to free short courses. You know, it's half an hour. You can do it. You can do one now around how to pay down some of your debt or tackle your cash flow crisis. You know, there's different topics. And just understanding that getting yourself a financial education is actually a skill that's going to benefit you for the rest of your life. Mm. Because when we know how to do things better, we can actually start implementing. We do it better. That's how we start taking back control. And then we worry less about those other things we spoke about earlier, you know, the things we can't control. And we start to become more skilled in terms of managing our own money better. And with that, our confidence grows. And when that happens, then you start to you know, experience the positive momentum, which is really what we all need. You know, once you start seeing the results of the work that you put in, well, then everything changes, because that's how we shift our focus back towards the cool stuff, which is generating wealth, not just, you know, getting by.
100%. Something else that's important, Hayley, of course, when it comes to generational wealth, is exactly that, you know, paying it forward and sharing the financial education and knowledge that you have with your family members or your loved ones, those who at some point might even bequeath your wealth or benefit from your wealth, or that you also just want to take along the journey of creating wealth with you. Are there solutions, especially, I guess, for different generations to actually impart and share knowledge or lessons that you might have witnessed that can be, you know, shared right across the spectrum?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're touching on such an important point here, and that is that, you know, the money in the bank account or the numbers that we often focus on are actually secondary in importance to the soft skills that need to happen around us. And that is not only giving ourselves a financial education, but making sure that those that we love get one too. And particularly when it comes to generational wealth, you know, when you're talking about handing down property to someone, or for somebody to be getting a life insurance payout, for example, when you're no longer there, what is critically important is that they have the skills to manage that gift that you've worked so hard to provide for them. Because otherwise, you know, we see horrible stories of people blowing through that money really quickly because they don't understand how to manage it and what to do with it, you know. So yes, that absolutely is a critical piece. And, you know, in the Truth About Money stable of financial courses, there is actually one specifically around generational wealth, what it means, not only to build it up, but also, like you say, how to pass it on in a way that really benefits the next generation and becomes a blessing and not a burden. Because you'll be surprised how receiving something as, you know, as generous as a gift to the next generation in terms of money or property or life insurance payout can actually cause problems if people don't know or don't have the skills to manage that gift. And so, yeah, absolutely, that would be my number one recommendation alongside any kind of inheritance or gift like that, is making sure that the people who are receiving it understand how to manage this gift that's been passed on.
100%. Hayley, such a pleasure speaking to you, and of course the lessons that you've shared with us, but just the realistic perspective to understand that there are many of us in the same boat in trying to build and generate generational wealth, but are still challenged by the pressures that we have for daily living. But all is not lost. As you've mentioned, there's many lessons that we can definitely learn and implement going forward. Thank you again for your time, Hayley.
Such a pleasure to join you as always. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's Hayley Perry, who is money coach and facilitator at One Life's Truth About Money, helping us unpack the latest One Life Insurance Generational Wealth Survey for 2025.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.